This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Welcome back. Hour number two of The Drive underway. It's time for your top four at four, brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Here's Jake Miller.
Thank you, Russell. Up first, Lincoln Riley has left Oklahoma to take the reins of the USC Trojans. There are a couple of names being floated around for the Oklahoma job, mainly Brent Venables. Could hear something within the next few minutes.
What?
I don't think I'm buying that.
You don't think so?
No. And Dusty Dvorak, remember him, tight end who played there, I think, when we played them a couple years ago?
What a name.
And he's on TV now. He says, clearly this is a very emotional time around the OU football program, and everyone needs to calm down. That's exactly what I just said last hour. Mm. I'm told there will not be any announcements today. Deep breaths and be patient.
He big mad.
Who's big mad? I missed the name.
Exactly. Dusty Dvorak. You need to take some time and just, like, chill. If you're Oakland, don't be kicking your feet up on the table and
but you have to be calm, yeah. Calm and measured.
Talk it over amongst your trusted advisors.
Got to take all emotion out of it and sit down and come up with a rational plan and execute it.
And number two, in addition to losing their head coach, preseason Heisman favorite Spencer Rattler has announced that he will also leave Oklahoma and enter the transfer portal.
Hello, Oxford.
Think that's where he goes?
I mean, as long as Lane stays there.
I thought they were getting Dylan Gabriel.
I'd be willing to bet Kiffin would rather have Spencer Rattler because he's probably got more than 1 year and he's a better physical talent.
Is Kiffin even going to be there?
I don't know. I cannot believe. I'm stunned that Oklahoma didn't target him number one. If I were Oklahoma, if I were Dusty Paycheck or whatever his name is, I would have full court pressed Kiffin.
Would you, Dusty Paycheck? Are you trying to say Dvorak?
Yeah.
Well, he's not the decision maker. He's just
who's AD?
Guy.
Okay.
Castiglione.
Castiglione, that's who I would have called first.
Well, I mean, Florida didn't kick the tires on Kiffin at all.
Strickland didn't. Doesn't
LSU
like him.
Hasn't. Obviously, USC hasn't, but that's not surprising.
You let LSU go down another 24 to 48 hours and not having a coach.
Well, I'm just wondering if the AD community is kind of out on him and all his antics. Going back to. Well, everywhere he's been is drama. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Including at Ole Miss and his Twitter presence. And I just wonder if certain ADs and schools just don't want to be associated with that.
Well, I mean, he had problems with authority, in borderline insubordinate at Oakland. We all know what he did here. He's grown up some.
He's a mess at USC. Saban fired him. Three days before the national championship game?
He also ordered, he was late, and ordered all the gates chained and locked to lock him out of practice. He left him at the stadium that time.
I mean, he was, and ever since he got out from under Saban's control, he's
been a little bit better.
He's been the Twitter stuff. I just wonder. I don't know, but I just
he was on Twitter yesterday.
Schools that don't even want to be associated with. They just want a more professional presentation of their football program. They think, all right, that's fine for Ole Miss, but we're Oklahoma. You know, we're Florida, we're LSU. We expect to be competing for national championships, and our football program is too valuable to gamble with it like that. If it blows up in Ole Miss's face, it's Ole Miss. Like, you've
what plays into it is going back what we were talking with Terry about, you know, it's a risk. You know, interviewing for a job like that where you're going to get paid millions of dollars, I mean, they're doing risk assessment on you. They should be if they're any good.
And number three, Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey will miss the remainder of the season because of a left ankle injury suffered in the first half of Sunday's 33-10 loss at the Miami Dolphins.
Kid can't stay healthy, Russ.
He can't stay healthy. It's a physical game. He's not a huge back. And Panthers are a mess.
And number four, college basketball rankings have been released, putting Duke at one.
Duke.
Boo.
Purdue at two. Gonzaga at three. Yeah. Baylor 4, UCLA 5, Tennessee moves up to number 13.
Moving on up.
And the SEC has more teams in the top 25 than any other conference in college basketball.
We are now. I think it's
pretty cut and dry. We're the
best. Yeah, I mean, the SEC is a premier basketball conference in the nation. We got the best coaches, the best players. Not have the best player, but we've got the best players.
Does it stun you guys that the AAC, the Big East, and the West Coast Conference have more teams in the top 25 than the ACC?
Yes.
They only have one.
That's Duke is the only one?
That is the only one.
Yeah, we knocked
North Carolina out. It's board meltdown. Thank you, Jake. The Top 4 at 4 brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com to set up your dental appointment. Don't put off that dental visit. Folks, if you haven't been this year, well, you might not be able to get in. I mean, it's December, folks, but don't wait any longer, man. Make your appointment for early 2022 at Knoxville Smiles and experience the future of dentistry right here in East Tennessee. Dr. Steve Malone, Dr. Michael Costa, two great dentists who do great work with their patients and have been doing so for a long time now here in East Tennessee. 865-539-1776 to set up your appointment. Take a virtual tour online of their state-of-the-art West Knoxville facility, KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Our friend Josh Pate is going to stop by here in just a few minutes to talk about some of this coaching madness in college football right now. Let's get a call from Westchester. Good afternoon, Westchester. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
How we doing, gentlemen?
What up?
Excuse me, 1 second. sorry about that. Listen, even if we lose Heupel, and I'm going to be positive here for a second, we're in a better spot than we've been in the past, right? Like, this is the coach leaving us better than he found us. And, I mean, this isn't going to be a total debauchery, right?
Or it might be a little bit better than it was last year or
earlier. Like 3 weeks away from early signing day, it'd be a complete and total disaster.
Well, you still got the NCAA. The NCAA stuff is the big deal, and it would not be ideal. Let's just say that.
One more thing, and I'll yield the rest of my time to your guest. You know, this Willie thing wouldn't be so much of an issue if your owner would buy a 7-second delay, would it?
We have systems in place. They just need to be utilized better. But thank you for basically calling us cheap on the air, Westchester. I think that if you're looking at the Tennessee job right now, it is not there are still massive problems. Like, if Heupel were to bolt, which it does not look like that's going to happen, it'd be tough.
I mean, it's probably not definitely not. It's probably not going to happen. But let's be honest. If he got offered, you know, $8-9 million a year, he'd, you know, double his salary, he'd be gone. I mean, I don't think in a million years it happens. But what I am telling you, I mean, it's just human behavior. I mean, if I offer you, you're making $4 million. I offer you $9 million, Russ. You're coming to work for me, right?
Yeah. So a couple of things that are happening this afternoon. A couple of things that are happening on other radio shows around the region. First of all, John Bryce, who used to cover the Vols here in East Tennessee, was on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville a couple of moments ago. And he said that he has heard and he believes that LSU is targeting Brian Kelly.
Nah.
That would be a shock hire.
I don't understand why.
Doesn't make a lot of sense for him to leave. That seems like a lateral move at this point.
Even a lateral move. It's just that move doesn't make sense.
He's been in the college football playoff twice already and has a chance to go again this year. So I don't know if I see that one happening. And then according to Smokey Pendergrass on Twitter, and if we can't trust old Smoke, then who in this world can we trust? He says, beat writer for Florida was just on Feinbaum 30 minutes ago, said he was hearing Bill O'Brien for LSU. Well, if I were an LSU fan, I'd be hoping that John Bryce is correct and not this Florida writer. Brian Kelly than Bill O'Brien, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty close. Give the edge to Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly's not leaving Notre Dame. There's only been one sitting head coach at Notre Dame that's ever left Notre Dame. What was the guy's name?
In the 40s.
He went back to his wife and kids on the farm. No head coach has ever left for another job.
First time for everything.
He's got it made up there, man.
He does have it pretty good. I would be stunned if that happened. And, man.
Because he can go out and win 10 or 11 games a year.
If LSU fell to Bill O'Brien. Well, I'd feel a lot better about our game down there.
Who scares you? Real quick. Who scares you now? Who would scare you the most at Oklahoma and at LSU?
I mean, I don't think about those schools in terms of scary. I get that, you know, Oklahoma's coming into the league and we're probably going to have to play them a little bit more often. But if you're at, like, just who I think would do best there at those jobs. Well,
yeah.
I mean, freaking Heupel at Oklahoma. But it doesn't sound like that's the way they're going to go. I don't know. That's a good question. Let's ponder that and circle back.
Yeah.
Josh Pate, 247sports.com, from the late kick. He was at Michigan for the Ohio State game this past weekend. We'll talk to him about that, get his thoughts on the Oklahoma opening, and Florida hiring Billy Napier. We have not even really hit on that. I guess that's not a huge surprise. We kind of saw that one coming last week. But get Josh's thoughts on it. Stay tuned. The Drive continues right here, Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russell Bear, Jake cruising along with you on an Overreaction Monday presented by The Phone Exchange. We go to the G3 Help Me Hotline where Josh Pate, 24/7 Sports, CBS, standing by. Good afternoon, Josh. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm good. I have this little giddy-up, I guess you could call it, in my voice, or as other people would call it, a slight cold. Because I feel like I've been in 47 different climates in the past month, and I just don't think it's been the best for my immune system. But ultimately, I think we'll be better for it.
Yeah, man, you sound a little rough. Now, you were in Ann Arbor in the snow over the weekend, so I guess that is that the culprit there? Just a little chilly up in Michigan this weekend.
Yeah, it was. And then I'm down in Georgia now, so I've still not gotten really back to Nashville. But I will say this. So as I grew up in the South, the real, real South, where it really didn't snow, I always watched those games, whether it be NFL or college. I would watch the late November snow games, and I knew how excited we used to get down where I'm from when there was the threat of snow. And I always thought, when I grow up, I want to put myself in a position where I can watch games played in the snow. Well, lo and behold, we were watching a game Saturday, snowing sideways in Ann Arbor, and I remember thinking to myself, I was out of my mind. Such a great product on TV. And I know how cool it looks on TV. But the what do I want to call it? The pilgrimage, if you will, the trek to try and get from Michigan Stadium to the Detroit airport Saturday night was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. Now, you could argue I haven't had a very hard life, but that was one of the hardest that I've ever done.
Josh Pate with us. He has survived many hardships to be with us on the drive this afternoon. Josh, just to describe the scene for us in Ann Arbor. We all saw the video that you took in the tunnel of the near altercation between the two teams. One of the great rivalry in sport. That sounds like, despite the cold you took away from it, if that's the worst thing that happened, I feel like that was well worth it.
Yeah, it was awesome. Here's what it was. So a lot of times, if you understand marketing and promotion, which how an entertainment product is built on, football is no different, then you understand sometimes what has been marketed and hyped up to you fails to live up to the expectation. In fact, a lot of times that happens. So when the opposite happens, you really count yourself as being fortunate to experience it. So as we were going into halftime, as I always try and do, I try and get up the tunnel a little bit early, and especially at this place, at the Big House, it is a shared tunnel. There's only one tunnel in the entire building. Both teams come out of it. Media's got to come out of it. Everyone's got to come out of it. So it's kind of like the Cotton Bowl. Both teams are going to go up the same entrance ramp. So I got up there, and I was filming, and you saw what happened in the video for, like, the five of you who didn't. Apparently everybody saw that thing. It was just – it was a nice little back and forth, a nice – healthy dust up, if you will, between the two teams. But what I was thinking as I was holding that phone is it's kind of surreal in the moment, but you're thinking to yourself, oh, wow, everything I've ever been told about this particular game, this particular event, not only is it true, not only is it validating before my eyes, but it's happening. As we speak, it's happening. And so that was obviously, man, it was like a dream come true to be able to witness that for someone who's grown up loving the sport. But there are pockets of the sport. There are rivalries out there. There are games out there that I've still yet to be able to see. That was my first Ohio State-Michigan game as a fan or as a media member. And so when I'm experiencing that, like that's how my mind's working. In other words, I can't believe out of all the games they've ever played in this series, this is the particular one that I get to cut my teeth as covering, and it ends up being historic, all-timer. I don't know when the last time was in that rivalry that they stormed the field. I'm sure someone does. I know Michigan hadn't had a chance to in a long time. So to be there for that particular set of events unfolding, it was totally surreal. I say surreal only because I'm not totally sure it has sunk in the magnitude of what we got to experience Saturday.
It was great. And speaking of surreal, I mean, what's going on in the coaching carousel? I mean, you would think after everything that we've witnessed through the years and where the sport has gone that we'd be prepared for moments like these. But still, like, I mean, I found myself sitting there yesterday thinking, Lincoln Riley to USC, is this really happening? The Oklahoma job is open. LSU can't find it. Like, what's going on here? And as you scan the message boards and the social media this afternoon and you're listening to all these rumors that are flying out there, it's, I mean, your head's got to be on a swivel. I don't know. What's standing out to you right now, Josh Pate, as we sit here at 4:21 Eastern time on a Monday afternoon? All the things that you're hearing, what stands out the most?
I think what stands out the most is if you were scripting a movie, if you were running a sitcom, you know, if you have storytelling, you have story arcs, you got an A story and a B story, normally that's about it, maybe a C story out there. Well, if you were scripting college football right now, how do you run a show? How do you format your topics and whatnot when you have like five A stories unfolding simultaneously? The Oklahoma job being open is one of the biggest stories you could have in college football. And it's happening the same time that the LSU job's open. Just recently, we had the Florida job filled. Obviously, just recently, we had the USC job filled that then predicated the Oklahoma job's open. That's insanity. But yet, everything I just said is reality. There's nothing made up about that. And so the way I think about it is exactly what happened with Lincoln Riley could happen again. What, obviously, by that, what I mean is some of these programs and some of these jobs are true keystone jobs. Like if you remember the movie Lake Placid, where there's a giant crocodile terrorizing everyone. I remember one of the rangers coming in and telling people, well, the way you know you got a croc on your hands is because it's a keystone species. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that when they do something, the entire ecosystem around it reacts, all the animals, everything, because it's the alpha in the territory. Well, the jobs that we're seeing open are the same way. Once those jobs, once a USC or an LSU, once they make their move, it's going to be so big from the head coaching level to the assistant levels and whatnot that it sends a ripple effect through the entire sport. That's why a lot of people are nervous. That's why some Tennessee fans are nervous right now. Oklahoma fans didn't know it, but they should have been nervous. And so what I think is the moment I hear Lincoln Riley to USC, I think, oh, wow, I'm stunned by that. But then in the very next breath, I say, wait a second. That means the Oklahoma job's yeah. open now. That means there's an Oklahoma coaching search now. And no one had prepared themselves for that. Or if you had, it was because you thought Riley may be going to LSU. And so I just wonder, like, what coaching search are we going to be covering 48 hours from now that we're not prepared to cover? And then you don't even want to know what it's like to look at your phone and see all these text messages and DMs from assistant coaches who you would think know more than you do, yeah. and they're reaching out to you saying, brother, what do you know? What have you heard? About who? Your own boss? Yeah, pretty much. We're in the dark like you are. It is a crazy, crazy time.
So, I mean, the Oklahoma job has only been open 24 hours. And we were talking in hour number one. Like, I think they need to – people are telling, oh, they could have Brent Venables hired by Sundown. And to me, maybe Brent Venables would be a great hire for them. But I just think – you pump the brakes a little bit and go slow. And I know, like, people don't do that on internet.com, but that's the Oklahoma job, man. They're going to have plenty of choices. The one that kind of stands out to me, Josh, is LSU. I mean, they've known that they've had the opening for over a month now, and unless Woodward just has an ace up his sleeve and he's just waiting at the right time to reveal it for the coach who's still coaching right now, presumably, it seems like that is the much bigger mess right now from my perspective.
I know it seems that way. I don't believe it's that way. So let me give you a hypothetical. I'm not saying I know this. Let's just say this for hypothetical purposes. Let's say the day that they announced they were firing Ed Orgeron, which was several weeks back, let's say they got on the horn via back channels with Mario Cristobal's agent, and they agreed in principle that very afternoon that Mario is coming to LSU. You just got to wait until the end of whatever our regular season is. And if he's going to the playoff, then you're going to have to wait until then. Okay? You want him bad enough. Let's say you both agree to those parameters a month ago or over a month ago. There would be obviously no information that leaked because one of the agreements in place would be all of us have to keep our mouths shut on this or the deal's off. So I want you to just imagine that scenario is true. How big of a mess would the LSU coaching search look right now? I think it would look the exact same way it does look because you know as well as I do, there would have been a ton of rumors pop up because in the absence of true tangible information out there, someone just runs their mouth and says something and everyone goes with it thinking it's gospel because no one's shooting it down. i.e. Lincoln Riley, yeah. LSU, we have no clue what the veracity of that was because no one credible ever stepped up to either confirm or deny. I've had people I trust tell me both Riley played LSU and also there was never a serious offer on the table, so I've heard the gamut of that. But my point is, until we see how it plays out, if we go back to our hypothetical now, for all we know, Mario Cristobal plays in the Pac-12 championship game Saturday, and then 5 minutes later fulfills his end of the deal, and all of a sudden LSU's got a coach. And what that does is it shows you the conclusion. To go back to storytelling, you see the entire story arc, and at the very end, now the entire last month makes sense. And now you perceiving it as having been a mess, it all makes sense. And you realize, oh, it had to be that way because they were waiting the whole time for their candidate. Now, again, I want to stress for those of you who just turned the radio on, that is a hypothetical. I'm not telling you that is firsthand information that that's going to happen. But there are guys, plural out there, who still have consequential games coming up this Saturday and maybe beyond that, that in the absence of true information being leaked out there, I have no other choice but to believe are in play. And with that being the case, I don't know that it's a mess yet. I think it's a mess if we had public knowledge that LSU had offered multiple people and been turned down. We just have speculation. That's all we have on that front right now.
Josh Pate, 24/7 Sports, with us this afternoon. Josh, Mark Stoops at Kentucky, his name getting a lot of play with both of these jobs, LSU and Oklahoma. Would he be a good hire for either one?
I absolutely would be a good hire. Now, the follow-up question has to be, does he have any interest in leaving? And I know that sounds backwards. I mean, that makes no sense to someone who doesn't understand the landscape here. there are people inside the industry who think Mark Stoops has the best job in college sports. Because he has SEC football money at a place where they're happy if they win eight games. And that is an extremely rare commodity. You don't really find that confluence of lower expectations and high-level financial resources like you do in Lexington. If he were to take one of those jobs, absolutely he'd be a good hire. Then, just as we were playing this game a second ago, then the next thing would be, who's about to hit the absolute gold mine that is the Kentucky football job? Like, who's going to get that one? Because that is, to me, the perfect job. If it were to ever come open, that job is the perfect job to get in, cut your teeth. You're not going to immediately be expected to deliver results like Napier will at Florida, for example, but you'll also be given resources. They do take football seriously. You are going to be paid money. Your assistants are going to be paid money. That would be an off-the-radar chain reaction, but a chain reaction that would be just fascinating to me. But, yeah, he would be a good one. I'll tell you another one that would be a good one that I have not heard a word about, and that's Mike Gundy. Like, Mike Gundy's sitting at Oklahoma State, and he's done what he's done forever, and it's almost like he's become Chris Peterson. When Peterson was at Washington, the word was out. Peterson's not going anywhere. And so because of that, people almost just dismissed his name in any coaching search. Mike Gundy's been extremely successful for a while at Oklahoma State now. Stoops, ditto at Kentucky. So Narduzzi at Pitt, for all I know. Halfley at Boston College. These are names that are not on everyone's hot board that if you hired him, I would nod my head and go, well, that's a pretty good job.
Hey, Josh, we appreciate your time. I know you're struggling through it this afternoon. We do have to ask you. I mean, it's been we've had all this conversation about coaching hires, and Florida hired a coach over the weekend. Nobody's talking about it. It's yesterday's news. How would you grade Florida's hire of Billy Napier?
I would give it an incomplete grade at the moment. I kind of said this on my show last night. And the reason I said that is not as a way to ride the fence or get out of it, but when you bring a guy to your major A-list program that has not been on that level, that's fine. I'm all for it. What I have to see is your staff. I thought the same thing with Heupel. I think the same thing with Billy Napier. Let me see your staff. Because obviously he's being brought in because his predecessor could not recruit. And so I've got to see his staff because I've got to know how they recruit. But I will say this. I think there's a lot of very flawed logic out there about people who are grading this hire. And I've heard some folks give it a D or a C, and what they say is so ignorant. They say, he's never even recruited five-star talent. How do we know he can? Well, he's never had an opportunity to. I made it akin to taking your Prius to Bristol Motor Speedway and thinking you're about to run in that race. That would be stupid. You would never take a Prius up there because it's competing against actual stock cars. You have to judge how you do against comparable competition with comparable resources. How Napier did against comparable teams is he's won the division every year he's been there, just like Chris Peterson, to mention his name again, when he was at Boise. I didn't care how he'd fare against LSU or Georgia. It wouldn't make sense to judge him against those teams. It made sense to judge him against the teams out west, and with equal resource, he was dominating those teams. So at Florida, he's not going to have Louisiana Lafayette resources. He's going to be given the leash he needs and the resource pool he needs to recruit at the highest level. I think he's going to do good there. Again, the reason I'm incomplete on it is I want to see his staff. He's probably been putting that thing together for a month now, so I've got confidence in the Florida hire. And they were very deliberate about it. They went about this thing very quickly. It's the polar opposite of what we've seen elsewhere, so I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very competently run coaching search, it would certainly appear. Josh, always appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on. At Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Josh Pate, thanks so much.
All right, brother, appreciate it.
Josh Pate making his presence felt, the G3 Help Me hotline. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III at 865-401-8214 and get the compensation you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit g3helpme.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. Again, that's g3helpme.com. Boy, a lot to unpack there. Stay with us. We'll do it when we continue next on Fan Run Radio. Here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Bear, Jake Miller, cruising along with you. Open up the G3 Help Me Hotline, 865-546-8200. Your number to get up with us here this afternoon. Interesting conversation with Josh Pate. As always, so much to get to. It is surreal, man. It is surreal. As I sit here looking at pictures of Bob Stoops with a goatee for some reason.
Looks kind of sinister, doesn't he?
Standing behind the podium answering questions at Oklahoma, where he is the, I guess, the interim coach of the Sooners right now. And he dropped a hell of a quote here, man. I got to read
this.
He's
kind of salty, isn't he, Russ?
Bob Stoops is defiant, according to Jason Kersey of The Athletic. Quote, "This place is a hell of a lot better, is in a hell of a lot better shape than it was in December 1998. Wish Tennessee could say the same thing. To all the fans, players, and parents, give it time. This is a little bump in the road." He has that calming effect, right, man? He had that. Remember, Fulmer had that press conference in 2017 after they shoved Curry out, and it was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Coach has got this.
Yeah. Coach didn't have it, though.
Coach Fulmer's at the helm.
You gotta hope that – sorry, buddy. You got to hope that that Stoops is
– Jiggle the handle on your mic there, Bear. It's doing the thing.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. You got to hope that he's better than Fulmer.
Recruiting has been
– good.
Has been good.
But we're working like heck.
Not in the desert. Jeez, he's still roaming the sidelines, Russell.
That's a really good quote, though, man. And he's right, man. Like, Oklahoma, okay, it sucks. Your coach left. He left you. It sucks to be spurned. Tennessee fans can empathize there. But they are in a good spot. It's a plum job. They don't need to just give the job to Brent Venables right away. They need to think about it. And if that's who they think and is, you know, best positioned to lead the Sooners back to glory and into the SEC. See, that's the other thing that's weird about it is nobody's really ever filled a position like that with the change that's coming down the road that they're going. It's one thing. You could find a lot of guys to go and win 10 games playing a Big 12 schedule next year. But what about 5 years down the road when you're in the SEC, you're in the thick of it? Can Brent Venables run your show doing that? Or can Mark Stoops? A lot of interesting questions to ponder there, but Stoops is right. I mean, it is a little bump in the road for them. I think Oklahoma's going to be fine as long as they don't go out there and hire a Derek Dooley or something like that.
What if they did what if they just had Stoops, if Stoops would do it, do an interim year? Like Ohio State did. Go that route.
I mean, what if he wants to come back and take the job? He's only 60.
Yeah. He's a lot younger than Saban.
Are you seeing these Lincoln Riley contract details?
No. Is it 10 years, $150 million?
So $110 million. USC is buying both of his homes in Norman. Apparently he has two houses there.
They're big baller.
Both his houses for $500,000 over the asking price. They're buying him a $6 million home in L.A.
Oh, I'm sure.
And unlimited use of a private jet 24/7 for his family.
That's nothing for them. I mean, it's la-la land. I imagine he'll be living, I wouldn't say Beverly Hills or Bel Air, but $6 million would get you in comfortably into Westwood, wouldn't it? You know what I'm talking about down around UCLA?
$6 million to get you a two-bedroom house on in Hollywood.
Not living on the sand at $6
million. No, I don't know, man. It's a little more expensive out there. But
That's ridiculous. Hey. And then with the same breath, we've got I'm glad for it with the NIL thing. But, you know, the football players are out here having to hustle, Russell.
You said a $6 million home.
Oh, it's outrageous, man.
But they can't. They don't want to do revenue sharing.
The
players
outrageous.
Need to unionize.
It's completely mind-boggling what's happening to the sport.
That guy?
And
these much money. Sorry.
These coaches and these agents and these administrators and these TV networks, man. They have been trying to suck the soul out of college football for a long time, and in some regards, they have succeeded. It's, in my mind, not as cool a sport as it was maybe 20 years ago, and I'm not just saying that because Tennessee's not as good. This college football free agency, $10-plus million salaries for head coaches, $2 billion TV contracts. I don't think it's good for the sport long-term, man. I don't think it's good for the sport long-term. But they didn't ask me, Bear, and I'm beginning to think they never will. So I guess we'll just sit here and watch the parade go by. They're buying both. First of all, he has two houses.
How do you have two houses in damn Norman, Oklahoma?
Two houses. And USC is just like, listen, I know we're asking you to move into a much more expensive state to live in. That's why we're going to pay you so much. By the way, we'll take both of those homes off your hands. We'll go ahead and buy them from you and do whatever we're going to do with them. And we'll buy you a $6 million home here in Los Angeles just to help you get started.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it's insane as this will sound. He's really not getting that big of a pay bump because he's going from $7 million to $10 million, which is just a stupid amount of money to pay a glorified gym teacher. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I mean, he's only going to take home in California.
Yeah, because he's going to have state income tax. Cost of living in California is outrageous.
He's only going to take home about 44 to 45%.
I mean, you put Stately Smith Manor out there in L.A., and it's a multi-million dollar house.
You'd be a millionaire, Russ.
If we moved your house to L.A.
Let's just take the Stately Smith Manor and push it somewhere else.
I just wonder what that's like. You ever get behind those big like double wides on the interstate?
Yeah.
It's like split in half. And you're like, man.
You never been in one of them?
I've moved houseboats and yachts. You
just pick up.
Never lived in one?
No, I've never lived in one. You just pick. Does that make me elitist?
No.
You never lived in a trailer?
Huh.
Well, look at old Dubsy up there in his ivory tower. Never lived in what? You never lived in a cardboard box? What, you never eat gruel out of the side of a mountain for dinner? I mean, what are you, Mr. Hoity-toity over there?
I mean, I've never lived in a trailer.
I just asked. I had some friends. One friend, she lived in a trailer.
You never bathed with
like a single
nasty
wad.
Sewer water? I mean, good Lord. All right, Mr. High and Mighty.
Then I had a buddy who lived in a double wide for a minute while he was building this house.
That's different.
Single wide living's crazy. A lot of fun to be had.
We got to select our North Knox Siding and Windows High School football coach of the week. Only, here we are, the little gold balls will be going home.
Clinic Bowl week. We got all kinds of stuff happening. I'm happy, sports-wise.
The Clinic Bowl. I've not heard. That's awesome.
They call it the Clinic Bowl.
I don't think they call it the Clinic Bowl anymore.
When they stopped calling it the Clinic Bowl?
I think like 20 years ago.
Where have I been?
I think it's the Blue Cross Bowl now.
The Blue Cross Blue Shield Bowl?
No, it's Blue Cross Blue Shield Clinic Bowl. Look it up.
Is it?
For us, Jake. I guarantee it is.
I just call it the State Championships.
Have you been to one?
I've been to many. Yes.
I've never heard it called the Clinic Bowl.
Oh, so get this.
Which my guys never made.
Two of my nephews that grew up down the street from you and their dad are going to Dallas on December 17th, the night that Coach Hutchins and the Fighting Irish is going to destroy West in basketball. But they're going to Dallas to watch the Texas State Championship games that weekend.
Bear, it's literally just called the Blue Cross Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, much like the World 600, I will continue to call it by its original name, like the Firecracker 400.
I mean, I do that.
All right, Russ. Is that okay with you, Russ, and I'm not calling it the right name? I don't want to offend you.
Oh, I'm offended.
You try and paint me as just, you know, somebody that can't remember stuff.
You try to paint like you it. As, you know, pregnant pause, somebody who can't remember stuff, you big jerk. Russell, you're always trying to, make fun of my memory. You jerk! Stop doing that. Stay with us. The Drive rages on.
Said what I said.
It's Fan Run Radio, back with more after this. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Barry Switzer is weighed in with
Coach,
who he thinks should be the next head coach at Oklahoma.
We've had him on the show a couple of times, Jake.
We tried to get him on this summer.
Yeah. That was when the mistaken identity with Russ phone call.
Okay, do you want to know who do you want to know who he had?
You've been very impatient with me and Jake lately. I kind of feel like you need to
set something up.
Let's go ahead and take this down a tangent
where we can talk about how we almost got Coach Barry Switzer on the show this summer. Nobody cares.
All right, fine. You do you. Me and Jake will just sit here.
Mike Leach. Yarr.
Utterly outstanding.
What did I tell you last week?
I think, like,
what did I tell you?
If you just want to have fun, you just want it to be fun for everybody.
I think there's a significant portion of the Oklahoma fan base that probably wouldn't go for that. I mean, he's got a pretty solid record of beating a team he's not supposed to beat. He did it again this year with A&M, and losing to somebody he's not supposed to lose to.
I wonder how much weight Coach Switzer's opinion carries with that fan base these days.
I don't know. Machine Guns National Championships. The guy knows what he's talking about. Super Bowl champion.
I mean, do you think there's the Oklahoma version of the Legions of the Miserable that are like, hey, if he's good enough for Coach Switzer, he's good enough for me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd love for the Pirate to get that job.
I told you last week that he would be in play.
Okay, now we've talked about scared. Who do you think would be fun to watch from afar? Leach at Oklahoma?
Oh, yeah. Leach anywhere. Leach, can you imagine Leach on the Bayou?
Well, I mean, like you and Davey and all the rest of the Leachers. I mean, I know you guys, that's one of your talking points. He's never had a real shot and had a level playing field.
That'd be a real shot.
Never been at a big program. Could he recruit at a level that Oklahoma expects to recruit at?
He'd have to go out there and surround himself with some guys.
Because the question I was going to ask Pate was, like, the thing that scares me is, number one, for his hypothetical, you know, he might be getting ready to have to cover an Oregon coaching search. Cristobal at LSU scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Just because of how talent-rich that area is, and he wouldn't have to travel far, and he is, they say he's a madman.
I kind of like this coach is staying put, man. Like, good for them, man. I mean,
well, why would you leave if you've got a comfortable situation? The money's everybody's making stupid money now. And as soon as Heupel wins 8 or 9 games, he'll get jacked right up with the rest of them.
Folks, speaking of money, you got any questions about financial planning, investing, asset management, saving for retirement? Call our friend Les Turner at Right Approach Financial and let him show you the right approach. It's never too soon and never too late either to start planning the perfect retirement. Start developing your personal strategy today with Les Turner at Right Approach Financial. Call today to set up a free consultation. Doesn't cost a dime to pick his mind. 865-498-3047. 498-3047. Online at rightapproachfinancial.com. I'm just glad that we're able to sit here and not be pulling our hair out about our guy leaving today.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun to watch. Like, it's fun going to their message boards and realizing that they have the capability and the capacity to be every bit as nutty as we are.
Well, and I do think that Heupel's name being attached, and we say attached, I mean, you've seen some of the – Dennis Dodd had, I think, Heupel's name was first on the list that he put out for Oklahoma. He was on, Bruce Feldman's list. His name is going to be connected to the job. And I kind of think that's a good thing for Tennessee, as long as he doesn't take the job, to have
– Oh, to be on the list. Yeah.
He's not a guy that's going to – generate a lot of news coverage on his own. He doesn't give you the juicy quote. He's not humorous. He's not funny with the media or anything like that. But he does put up big points offensively. And to finally have his name attached and we're not really worried about him actually taking the job, I think is a good thing. Now, I did talk to somebody over there yesterday who said, man, this is, you know, they're already, the rival schools that Tennessee's recruiting against are already killing us with the NCAA stuff. And now all the recruits are going to hear this week is, oh, Heupel's going to Oklahoma, don't you know? But to me, I think as long as it doesn't drag on too long, that can be a good thing. I guess the other question we need to kick around a little bit is, if you're Danny White and this stuff is happening, do you do it something with his contract? I mean, if you could hammer something out and, to me, like release a statement, like he's staying, that kind of thing, that's good publicity for the university because it just,
I mean,
first of all,
above and beyond his bonuses and his $4 million in salary?
Yeah, I know. But, like, it reassures the fan base that he's not going anywhere. And, again, public perception-wise, it's, oh, wow, you know, Tennessee was able to keep their guy. They must like him. Yeah, they finished number 9 in the country this year in scoring offense at 39 points per game after being 108th the year before. Yeah, they want to keep that guy. He's doing good.
Well, I mean, I've said that I thought what they should do is just probably give everybody a Christmas bonus. Just hand everybody an envelope on the staff over there.
I mean, yeah, again, I think this stuff is distasteful at a certain level, quite frankly. This Lincoln Riley contract is just, it's obscene.
Yeah, I mean, it's disgusting.
But this is the world.
It's not my money.
What is, this is the business we've chosen.
Yeah.
To quote The Godfather. And if you think you can make a little bit of a splash, you know, bump him up from whatever he's making now, $4 to $4.2 million a year. What's $200,000 amongst friends? Tack on another year on the end of his that kind of thing, just so you can have that moment. I could see the value in that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like you said, it's just obscene.
865-546-8200, your number if you want to get up with us this afternoon. 546-8200, The Drive continues. It's Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. Yeah, Tennessee finishes the regular season 18th nationally in total offense.
Heck yeah.
454 yards per game. Last year they finished 102nd. 346 yards per game. So over 100 yards per game improvement offensively and 18 points per game. And I remember having this conversation. So we were talking about, like, what's a reasonable expectation for improvement. And I was thinking, man, if you can go from like 21, if you can get to 30 points per game, that would be great. They're basically at 40.
Yeah,
that to me really illustrates.
We definitely circle back to this.
How much he overshot expectations this year. Stay with us. Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up.